Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net 205 Live audio recap. I'm your host, my name is Zach Zimmerman, and today we're going through the show from Tuesday, March the 7th, 2017, which aired from the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. I thought the show made an effort to, you know, kind of follow up on and advance some of the major storylines that they have going on 205 Live. The main event program between Neville and Austin Aries got a decent spotlight on this show. They did a decent job, you know, say what you will, but a decent little job of advancing the Akira Tozawa, Brian Kendrick storyline. And for whatever it's worth, it doesn't do anything for me, but it is a storyline that they're putting attention on. This whole Noam Dar, Alicia Fox, Rich Swann thing, which really kind of just feels like something for the people who don't matter to do. But anyway, before I jump full bore into this review, this is a special all-access edition, as I noted, which means that I have to promote the greatness that is ProWrestling.net membership. Guys, obviously, you're familiar with ProWrestling.net if you're listening to this audio show. Head on over to the main page at the very, very tip top, that top bar that you see there. You will see a membership info link. Go ahead and click that link, and it has all of the information you need to learn about ProWrestling.net membership. What does that include? I'll tell you what that includes. It includes ad-free access to the website. Once you go ad-free, you'll never want to go back. It also includes access to the members forum, a great group of people in there. And then, first and foremost, kind of the real moneymaker here is the audio content. Just a smorgasbord of content for members each and every week, each and every day, really. On the all-access side, you guys get a pretty decent little sampling of what we do here, but the members get everything every day, every week. Reviews of all the major television shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, Impact, Ring of Honor. I think the British guys are even doing Progress. And then, of course, you have the non-show-specific shows. You know, you get Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett together on the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. You get Jason Powell's Q&A show. You get, of course, the flagship broadcast, ProWrestling.net Weekly. Jason Powell and a guest of his choice discussing all the major news and events in the week of wrestling that was. It's just, it's a great value for your money, guys. If you're a wrestling fan, you owe it to yourself to at least, you know, stick your toes in during this WrestleMania season, test the waters, see how it feels, see what you think. ProWrestling.net, membership info at the top of the page. It's got everything you need. With that out of the way, let's jump right into this episode of 205 Live. We got a video package recapping the events from Monday Night Raw, which ended in Austin Aries returning from his role as a commentator to the ring to lay out Neville and presumably step up as Neville's next Cruiserweight Championship challenger. We got the opening video, and then we came inside the arena where Pyro hit Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves checked in from the commentary table, noting that Austin Aries was conspicuous by his absence. A graphic then promoted a match for later on the show, which would pit Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher versus Arya Daivari and Noam Dar. At this point, the show really kind of kicked off as Austin Aries made his entrance into the arena, made his way to the ring in street clothes, took a microphone in the ring and said that he had secured his biggest interview to date, this time with Austin Aries. He spoke third person the whole time, acted like he was two different people, both the interviewer and the interviewee. He asked himself, "So Austin, why have you decided to leave the announce booth, step back into the ring, and punch Cruiserweight Champion Neville right square in the face?" He answered himself. He said, "Well, Austin, you know, thank you for the great question. You're an incredible journalist, blah, blah, blah." I don't know. It was a little bit obnoxious, but it was kind of entertaining, I guess. He said that he did it basically because he could. He said that he sat at the commentary booth for months and months recovering from his broken eye hole. And when it was time to return, he decided he was going to step up and punch the biggest, baddest guy right in the face. He said that Neville is indeed the upper echelon of 205 Live. That is, until I got here, he said. Aries then declared, he asked himself what his future holds and said that his future holds a lot of 205 Live. At this point, Neville's pyro fired off. Lots of pyro on this show so far. Made his way out onto the stage. "Unbelievable," he said. He accused Aries of going off the deep end. He said, "You hid behind that announce table for months and months, and now you emerge and you think you're on my level?" Aries said, "I'm not on your level. You are on the A level, and I'm not there. I'm at my own level, the double A, the A double level." Neville then said, "Oh, you're not at the Neville level," you know, because it rhymes, they're having fun at this level thing. He suggested that Aries rethink this career move, get back to the commentary booth to make jokes where he belongs. Aries said that he doesn't need to be at the commentary table to tell jokes. In fact, if Neville comes down into the ring, he's got a joke about the Cruiserweight champion who got jaw-jacked two nights in a row. Neville said that Aries has not earned the right to step into the ring with him. In fact, he's not even going to have to lift a finger to get rid of Austin Aries, because the whole locker room is going to have it out for Aries, considering he came out from the commentary booth and is just going to presume that he can jump right to the front of the line. Aries spoke directly to the locker room with this and said that his ass has been writing checks for years, and he is mouth and he cashes them every single time. Or no, his mouth writes checks. Yeah, that's what it was. Whoops. His mouth writes checks every single time, and his ass cashes them every single time. He offered for anyone with a problem to step up and do something about it. That was that. Decent little opening promo, nice little exchange between Neville and Aries. I liked this better than what they did at the end of the show to put the spotlight on Aries. I thought this was kind of a nice follow-up to last night, and nice kind of laying the foundation for this program going forward. The commentators then transitioned away, where they had breaking news about a heated confrontation between AJ Styles and Shane McMahon, which was then followed up on Talking Smack after 205 Live. But back to 205 Live, we went backstage where Rich Swann was apparently teaching Jack Gallagher to dance backstage. Noam Dar approached. He was just suspicious of whoever sent the flowers to Alicia Fox last week. And then Swann reminded him, "Didn't you take credit for getting her those flowers?" And Dar was like, "Oh yeah, I did. But he was just kind of lost. He said it was basically just an excuse for him to say Alicia Fox, because that's pretty much the only thing that Noam Dar has going for him at this point, is that he says Fox. He's not good in the ring. He doesn't have a lot of charisma. He's not likable or unlikable. He says Fox, and that's all. He walked away, and Swann went back to teaching Gallagher how to dance. We came back into the arena where Noam Dar made his entrance for a match accompanied by Alicia Fox. A replay showed Fox being delivered flowers during Dar's match last week. And then it showed Rich Swann looking on from the monitor backstage with a big smile on his face. Presumably, he was the one who sent those flowers. The rest of the entrances took place for the previously advertised tag match, which again was Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher versus Arya Daivari and Noam Dar. Babyfaces were in control, or not babyfaces, but Swann was in control early, but he went for a vertical leap Frankensteiner on Daivari, who was sitting on the top rope, but Daivari no-sold it, just like, you know, didn't go over for the flip, and then just like a second later, Noam Dar jumped up and grabbed Arya Daivari around the ankle to hold on to him, so it was like very clear that Dar badly missed his spot. He was supposed to hang on to Daivari, who would then, you know, not go over for the Frankensteiner. Instead, Daivari didn't go over for the Frankensteiner, then Dar jumps up and grabs him by the ankle to keep him in place. As I mentioned, Noam Dar is not good. He has no business being on this show each and every week. He's just not at that level. You look at the people who have spent not only a run in NXT, but years in NXT to quote-unquote figure things out and learn the WWE way and get their stuff looking good. You look at Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, even the Cruiserweights who are down there now. I mean, Grand Metalik, people like that. It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable that Noam Dar has a roster spot. And when you look at the people who don't, unbelievable. The guy is so far out of his league. Anyway, heels took over and worked the heat from there. Around the 5-minute mark, Gallagher took the hot tag, did some of his signature stuff. Dar distracted Gallagher, allowing Daivari to blindside him, but that advantage did not last long. Babyfaces hit a bunch of tandem finishers. Gallagher hit the corner dropkick, and Swann hit the Phoenix Splash, and then Babyfaces got the win in about 6 minutes. It was a match. That's all I have to say about that. Replays aired, Swann and Gallagher celebrated their win while Fox tended to Noam Dar in the ring. As Dar was recovering, a delivery man came out and brought a heart-shaped box with him. Dar berated the delivery man for being late, but then told Fox that all the chocolate in the world couldn't be as sweet as her. She then took the box and was just kind of shaking it, listening to it, trying to figure out what was inside. I don't know. I can't stand what they're doing with Alicia Fox. I don't like watching Noam Dar and Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander before. I don't like watching them battle over Alicia Fox. It's a really stupid storyline. It's something they're trying to make people who don't matter matter, and it's really not effective at all. The one thing that makes this, I'm not going to say it makes this worthwhile, but the one thing that makes this moderately entertaining, I will say, is Alicia Fox being crazy and nobody being aware of it. Like, you know, Somebody brought her flowers last week, and they're all worried about who got her the flowers. Meanwhile, she's at ringside eating the goddamn flowers. You've got, you know, this guy trying to woo her and win her over with a box of chocolates. He's worried about, you know, all these compliments. Oh, you're so much sweeter than chocolate could ever be. Meanwhile, she's trying to figure out what's inside the heart-shaped box of chocolates, rattling it around like it could be, I don't know, just trying to figure out what it is. It's just, it's funny to me. It's a very subtle thing, but, like, it's the one minor redeeming thing about this stupid Alicia, not Alicia Fox is stupid, but these stupid storylines revolving around Alicia Fox. Commentators then noted that someone had taken issue with Austin Aries and decided to step up and challenge him tonight. So in tonight's main event, it will be Austin Aries against Tony Nese. We went backstage where Tom Phillips was standing by with Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick, as it would become important later on in the show. Basically, just asked for an answer from Kendrick regarding Akira Tozawa's challenge from Raw. Kendrick said that he was tempted to say no because of how disrespectful Tozawa was with his challenge, but if Tozawa wants to fight Brian Kendrick tonight, that's what he'll get. Back from commercial, Akira Tozawa made his entrance into the arena, and his supposed opponent, the Brian Kendrick, was out next. However, Kendrick did not get into the ring. He went around to ringside, took a microphone, and he said that he was indeed a man of his word. He said that he had promised Tozawa a fight with Brian Kendrick, and so that's what Tozawa was going to get. But not THE Brian Kendrick, no, A Brian Kendrick. Brian with a Y, he noted. At this point, he called out a guy who actually was Eric Cannon. Anybody who was familiar with Dragon Gate USA from like 2000 and like maybe 10 to 2012 or 13 would be familiar with Eric Cannon. I think he runs First Wrestling in Minnesota. He's a longtime independent wrestling veteran, but he came out in the role of A Brian with a Y Kendrick, looking like just the guy for the second match of the show. And Akira Tozawa was pissed, and he showed it in this match. But this match only went a little over a minute, and it was just Tozawa teeing off, leveled Cannon with a boot right out of the Brian Kendrick with a Y. I'm just going to call him Cannon. Tozawa leveled him with a boot right out of the gate, wore him out with punches, big penalty kick, big vertical leap, senton. Tozawa was briefly distracted by V Kendrick at ringside. However, the other Kendrick was not able to take control for long. Tozawa came right back with the running head scissors and then that sequence of counters into his snap German suplex for the win in a little over a minute. After the match, Tozawa invited the Brian Kendrick to get into the ring afterwards, but Kendrick hopped the barricade and left through the production area. Replays aired, and Tozawa just sold his frustration with Kendrick in the ring. You know, it was a way to advance the storyline. I didn't think it was particularly great. I thought, if nothing else, like, this minute squash for Tozawa, I think it might have been, like, a better showcase for him than he's had, you know, than he had in his debut matches. It's like, They have a trend of doing this, and it's this thing where, like, they have a guy debut, look at Austin Aries tonight, Akira Tozawa in the past couple weeks, where, like, the person's trying to debut and make a real big, impressive standout, and they give them, like, these competitive back-and-forth, lengthy, hard-fought battles with guys who aren't necessarily portrayed at that level. I don't know. I think whereas if you put a guy in a minute-and-a-half showcase and let him run through his opponent, I think that's a lot more impressive. So, honestly, even though this was more of a storyline advance than anything, I think this is, like, Tozawa's best showing yet, really. Obviously, besides the Cruiserweight Classic. Well, let's say his best showing since debuting on 205 Live. Let's see. We went backstage where one of the interviewers was standing by and asked Neville for his thoughts just moments ahead of Austin Aries making his in-ring return against Tony Nese. Neville just looked at her with disgust. He reiterated that Aries is going to come to regret this career decision. He said that Aries is going to suffer the consequences of all of his jokes on commentary, and he'll learn that Tony Nese is no joke. Neville declared himself the king and said that regardless of who ends up in the ring with him next week, they will have their hands full. Didn't really get into what that meant, I don't think. Like, they didn't advertise a match with Neville for next week or anything of that matter, so I don't really know what he had in mind there. But we came back into the arena where it was main event time. Austin Aries made his entrance in ring gear, but he was wearing this ridiculous, floofy, silver ring jacket. It was not a good look. When Austin Aries goes heel in the relatively near future after this program with Neville, this jacket will be perfect. When you're trying to return as a top-level babyface challenging the Cruiserweight champion, don't wear your floofy, floofy silver ring jacket. It was absurd. Anyway, his opponent, Tony Nese, was out next for the third match of the show and the main event. Nese overpowered Aries in the opening minute, but Aries was able to out-wrestle him a short time later. Decent little back and forth stuff early. Just kind of trademark Austin Aries with his headstand into a dropkick escape from a head scissors, things like that. There's a little bit of a scary spot where Nice tried to send Austin Aries up and over the ropes where, you know, he'd come down landing on the apron. These cruiserweights do it where, like, the guy fires him up into the air so hard, so fast, and they just, whew, and they come down right on their feet on the apron. This time, though, it was not quite as smooth. Aries overshot the apron. I'm not sure if he, you know, pushed off a little bit too far, or if Nice sent him up a little bit too hard, but Aries overshot the apron by just, like, a few inches, came down awkwardly on the floor, but his knee, like, hit the apron and kind of dragged down it as he came down. He, you know, it looked like it was one of those things that kind of jolted his knee a little bit, but you could see him kind of hold off the trainer who would look, you know, it was off camera, but Aries kind of put his hand up towards, you know, where, like, the timekeeper's area is, presumably telling the ring doctor that he was okay to say the hell away. Anyway, he looked like he was okay, because when they recovered from that, Aries took control of the match. He hung Nice up with a neck breaker from the ropes, and he went up to the top rope. But Nice crotched him and hit a big fireman's carry into a single knee gutbuster for a near fall. Nice began to, like, talk trash to Aries, just yell, "You don't belong here, get back to the commentary table," all that sort of thing. And this is where Aries made his comeback, fired up, did a cartwheel of his own. This because Nice did that cartwheel into a super kick that he does. So a short time later, Aries did a cartwheel into a hard clothesline just to kind of play off that. He then rallied off some more trademark offense, including his pendulum elbow drop for a two count. Nice managed to slip out of a fireman's carry and plant Aries with a sit-out schoolboy powerbomb for a good near fall, but Aries managed to fight out of a rear waist lock. I think he was looking for Nice was looking for a German suplex, and Aries managed to fight out of it. And he knocked Nice out to ringside, and he wiped him out with that heat-seeking missile, the high-impact suicide dive between the bottom ropes. Then he tossed him right back into the ring, bounced off the ropes, and leveled Tony Nice with a discus forearm, or a discus elbow, whatever it was, and Aries got the pin in just shy of 10 minutes. Series of replays aired, the commentators put Austin Aries over, but they questioned whether or not he could hang at Neville's level, and they wrapped things up to close the show. And you know, that was a really, in a vacuum, okay, the match was a pretty enjoyable back-and-forth match, but I thought that was an incredibly ineffective way to reintroduce Austin Aries. Tony Nice, yes, he's picked up some wins. Yes, he's physically impressive. But he is just part of the 205 Live soup. Just the schmoz of guys just hanging out on the bottom card. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. Have never been portrayed as a viable contender. And yet, you have him out there going 10 minutes back and forth with the returning star, who's being portrayed as the top-level babyface and challenger for the Cruiserweight Champion. This was not a number one contender performance from Austin Aries tonight. If he had gone out there and ran through Nice in 5 or 6 minutes, you know, Nice got a little bit of a heat, but then Aries made his comeback, like, that's fine. But to go 50-50 back and forth with Tony Nice was not ideal. And of all things, you have your commentators pointing that out, questioning whether or not, you know, yeah, this guy was good, but can he hang at Neville's level? It's like, no, have him run through his opponent and say, "Neville needs to be on the lookout, because this guy, you know, from this performance here, he really seems like he can hang at Neville's level." No, instead you have him go 50-50 with an undercard guy and say, you think he's at Neville's level? I don't know, I wonder if he can hang. It's like, just very tone-deaf, very ineffective, I thought. You know, no part of, I don't really think it was Austin Aries' fault, but I think that he suffers the brunt of it, because it's just a little bit less steam behind him coming out of the gate than I think he potentially could have had, which is a little bit disappointing, but we'll see how they follow up next week and in the weeks to come. I guess that's really what matters, is talking about how this was kind of to set up something with Neville in the ring next week. So we'll see what that is. I'll be back next week with coverage as always. And you have to be a member if you want to hear things, if you want to hear the audio side of things next week. So be sure to head over to ProWrestling.net, sign up for the membership. But guys, it's WrestleMania season, so a little extra news and coverage and things like that in your life, it's that time of year. Go ahead and sign up for it. But that's going to do it for me. So until next week, everyone, thanks for listening. Take care.